Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Levine reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Well, last week when I talked about the allegations by Dr. Christine Blasey Ford that Judge Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh, attempted to rape her in high school, got a lot of pushback from a lot of Trumpists and who knows, maybe some Putin trolls, who knows sometimes who responds on Facebook. But the pushback was, well, there are lots of it, actually. We'll talk about it. There was, innocent until proven guilty, to which my response was, would you hire as a school teacher someone who had allegations but had not been convicted, who had allegations of attempted rape? And if you wouldn't hire them as a school teacher, why should Supreme Court justice with a lifetime appointment affecting 300 million Americans be under lesser scrutiny? There was the argument that Donald Trump made, which is that, if it happened, she would have told someone immediately. Even Susan Collins responded to that one. 77% of victims of sexual assault do not report it right away. We'll talk a little bit later on the program about why. But the third argument that was made, and I heard it made on television, I heard it made on my Facebook, it was just this one time. It was just this one time. Every guy gets a free attempted rape. It happened all these years ago. It happened in high school. It happened when he was a kid. So, therefore, boys will be boys. Rapists will be rapists. Let's move along here. Let's get them confirmed right now. Quickly. Well, yesterday, the second woman came forward. Her name is Deborah Ramirez. She was raised as a conservative Catholic girl. And her story is, it's scary and it's gross and it's sad all at the same time. And excuse me when I read a bit of her story, as I will this hour, and go to in some of the details. I think one of the reasons why survivors of sexual assault, survivors of domestic violence, don't go into the details is because they're gory and they're ugly and they're horrid and they're degrading, and therefore they don't tell their stories, and therefore the perpetrator gets away with it. So I think it's critical that we tell her story, and in a fantastic expose by Ronan Farrow in The New Yorker, they give all the details. And I highly recommend that everyone read that expose. In fact, I'll post it, if you're listening on Facebook Live, I'll post it right here. You can read it in the commercial break. I've read every word. It's quite a tale. Basically, Ms. Ramirez says that when she was a college student at Yale University, so, hey, kids, he's not in high school anymore, that she was regularly abused. We'll just start with the verbal abuse. By a group of kids, mostly guys, that basically picked on her because she was seen as weak, which, by the way, sexual predators usually do. They usually pick not on the strong woman, strong girl who is loud and fights back. And no, they tend to pick on the meek ones, the ones that they see as people willing to take it. Indeed, in the group that Brett Kavanaugh belonged to, the Secret Society at Yale, was nicknamed, again, pardon my language, these are not words that I normally use, but in the interests of disclosure, the nickname of the group was Tits and Clits, and its motto was, no means yes, and yes means anal. Again, I apologize for saying that on air. But in this society with which Kavanaugh frequented, there was a lot of heavy drinking, and many, many, many people, and it's not just these two women, many people remember that Kavanaugh was frequently incoherently drunk. Think about that. Frequently incoherently drunk. Yeah, we all have friends who get drunk on occasion. Frequently incoherently drunk? And that when he was drunk, he became belligerent. Again, not this woman. That's someone else in the article. What Deborah Ramirez describes is a drinking game. A full disclosure, I've played drinking games. You know, the ones if you don't say the phrase right, you have to take a drink, right? Or there's beer pong. We've all played drinking games. Drinking games can be relatively harmless, I guess. This drinking game apparently was that anyone in the circle could make anyone drink. Doesn't sound like much of a game. And everyone in the circle made Deborah drink, which sounds pretty awful. And that while she was getting drunk playing this game, people would mock her. And it finally got to the point, again, excuse my language, I'm describing what's in the New Yorker article. It finally got to the point where Kavanaugh pulled down his pants and shoved his penis in her face. She remembered sticking her hand out, accidentally touching it, pushing him away. And she remembers, and this is the thing that really, really hurts. After it happened, she was mocked. She was mocked. People would say, Brett Kavanaugh pulled down his pants and shoved his penis in Deborah's face. Ha ha, Debbie. Think about that culture. A culture where the victim of violence, the victim of sexual assault, is mocked. Apparently, several male students were egging Kavanaugh on. And I see a pattern here. One of the things we've learned from the Me Too movement is that sexual predators often commit their acts in a pattern. For Bill Cosby, the pattern was drugging the women he wanted to rape. For Harvey Weinstein, it was showing his genitalia. There's some men that seem to like to do that. For Donald Trump, it's unwanted sexual touching. As Donald Trump put it, he would grab them by the pussy. Again, pardon my language. I'm sorry to have to say these things. These aren't words I normally use. There are words our president uses regularly, jocularly. It's fun to commit sexual assault, you see. It's something you brag about to your men friends, apparently. Or as Melania Trump once said, it's just locker room talk. Boys will be boys. don't know if she still thinks the same way now that Stormy Daniels has described, and I won't say this part on the air, but has described Donald Trump's anatomy in such specific ways that I'm sure Melania knows that Stormy's telling the truth about one of Donald Trump's many, many adulterous trysts. And look, Bill Clinton had his adulterous trysts as well. I'm not defending it. But in Donald Trump's case, he bragged about touching women that did not want to be touched. And we have, what, 17 or 18 women that said that he touched them? And now to Brett Kavanaugh. What's Brett Kavanaugh's modus operandi? What's his way of getting to know the ladies? Brett apparently is worse when he's drunk. When he's drunk, his real self shows up. Some would say, well, it's not his fault he was drunk, to which I would say, yeah, Roseanne said the same thing, Roseanne Barr, when she was racist on Ambien. She said, I was on Ambien, and no doubt Ambien might make many people to lower their guard, as alcohol often does. But Ambien doesn't make you racist, and alcohol does not make you into a sadistic person or a rapist. It's got to be inside there somewhere. In any case, Brett Kavanaugh apparently gets egged on by men. And when he's egged on by men and everyone's cheering for him, he really enjoys degrading women. He gets his jollies off of it. He gets off on it. His thing is degrading women. His thing is taking vulnerable women and making them feel weak and seem weak and hate themselves. His thing is showing great power over women's lives. I defy anyone to read that New Yorker article and not just get really angry. This woman, Debbie Ramirez, Yale college student, was vulnerable. She grew up a conservative Catholic. It's interesting. Anita Hill also grew up a conservative Republican. Anita Hill was quiet, shy, easy prey for the sexual predator. What does it say about a man that he enjoys degrading women? What does it say about a man that his subconscious, and maybe it's only his subconscious that comes out when he's been drinking, that his id, that his inner soul, is all about degrading women? Could that be why he doesn't let a 17-year-old have an abortion? A woman who may well have been raped. As a judge, he said she couldn't get an abortion until he was quickly overruled by other judges. I don't know. But I know this. Kavanaugh and the Republicans insist that Debbie Ramirez not get a hearing. She won't get to talk before the Senate Judiciary Committee. She won't get to testify. And the man that Dr. Ford said was in the room with Brett Kavanaugh, a guy by the name of Mark Judge, Debbie Ramirez remembers him too. She remembers him being involved in a gang rape, proudly discussing how they got a girl so drunk she passed out and each of the men took turns on her. Again, I apologize for the graphic language. Debbie Ramirez remembers Mark bragging about that, thinking it was consensual because she was too drunk to say no. Yeah, he won't be testifying either. If Republicans didn't believe Kavanaugh was guilty of being a sexual predator, they'd support an investigation and they'd support everybody testifying. if you were wrongly accused, wouldn't you want a full investigation? Wouldn't you want everyone testifying? Wouldn't you want the FBI to fully look at the matter, to exonerate you, to say, hey, I'm not guilty. They've interviewed everybody. There's nothing to it. That's what I'd want if I were falsely accused. But if I were guilty, I'd want to cover it up, shut everyone up, and get that vote to the lifetime appointment as soon as possible. Republicans must be certain he's guilty, or they wouldn't want to cover up the investigation. I've gone over time. Call in if you like. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Broadcast this show live on Facebook, and someone on Facebook by name of Connie in Vancouver, Washington, said that she doesn't believe these allegations. She thinks he's innocent, and I pushed her. I admit, I pushed her on Facebook to call in, and I'm really glad to say that she has. Connie, we only have 2 minutes in this segment, but I promise you, after the break, I'll give you as much time as you need. But go ahead, make your case.
All right.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
I have seen people be falsely accused.
Me too.
I know the pain. I know it causes. And I do believe that these people are trying to help the Democrats, and that's one reason I don't believe it.
Connie, let me ask you a question. If you were falsely accused, would you want...
I haven't been yet.
I know you haven't been, but if you were... Would you want an investigation to see who's telling the truth? Would you want the people who did the investigation to make them tell their truth under oath? And would you want to punish people by putting them in jail if they lied about truth under oath? I know I would.
I would want the truth to come out, but at the same time, I will not see my granddaughter because I will not let them put me in jail like they did their grandmother.
I don't know specifically what you're talking about.
They lied about their grandmother, and then she got to jail. She was an old lady like me.
Okay. But my question for you is, and turn down your radio in the break, all right? Because otherwise there's going to be just an echo into the
My name is...
But my question for you is, let's just turn down her sound just so I can make my case, whether or not you would want a full investigation with people telling the truth under oath if someone falsely accused you. That's what I would want. I think it's what you would want. But do me a favor, just turn down your computer when you're on the telephone, otherwise we hear feedback. We'll be right back with more from Connie in Vancouver, Washington, and me and your calls, 888-48-MARK, right after that.
The aggressive progressive Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, talking about the new allegations of a second woman, Deborah Ramirez, who says that at Yale College she was in a drinking game, and everyone asked her to drink and were mocking her, and that Brett Kavanaugh pulled down his pants, exposed himself to her. She's the second woman. There's a third woman, represented by Michael Avenatti. He hasn't given us the details yet. Says it happened in high school, And according to the Sentinel, there's now a fourth woman in Maryland that claims sexual assault. That's a story that's just coming out. We don't know the details of that yet. I do have a caller on the line. Her name is Connie. She's in Vancouver, Washington. And she insists that Judge Kavanaugh is innocent and these are all false accusations. And I did goad her into calling in. I admit that. But she posted on Facebook and I want to hear her side. So, Connie, you have the microphone.
Hi, I am compassionate about the people that lie about people to get what they want. And I have two granddaughters. I do not see them because they have put their other grandfather in prison and their grandmother in jail. All they did was try to keep them out of a foster home when they were abused. I don't see my granddaughters because my husband is scared to death of these two girls because we don't trust them to not lie.
So it sounds to me like you're taking a personal situation. You're taking a tragic personal situation that you've undergone, and I'm really sorry about what you've undergone with your grandkids. But you're taking, and I obviously don't know the circumstances of what happened to you and your grandkids. I'm just sorry because I know that custody decisions can be brutal and tough. And you're right. People do sometimes lie in custody cases, foster care cases. I have no doubt that that happens all across America.
I know custody cases. I know that.
Yeah,
too.
They're ugly. But my question for you, Connie, is you've undergone an experience. It's obviously completely separate and different from what these women have undergone, from what Judge Kavanaugh has undergone. And we're at a circumstance where now up to four women, we know of at least two, but it seems to me there's going to be two more, at least that have been cited. Up to four women have said that Kavanaugh has done these sexual degrading.
Do they have a bad memory, all of them, because they waited so long?
Well, 77%. You may be surprised to hear this, Connie. Connie, 77% of people who suffer sexual abuse do not report it right away. You may be aware of there's some cases against the Catholic Church where some boys and girls waited 30, 40 years before they talked about how their priest or cardinal.
Yeah, the Catholic Church is bad.
Well, but why do you believe
them?
Do you believe the accusers? Do you believe those accusers? The ones who say that the priests molested them?
They were boys and they were men.
Right. Do you believe that those boys?
It would be a shame.
I mean, I believe them, but do you believe
hard
them?
For them?
Do you believe them? They didn't tell us this right away.
There's so many of them, yes.
Okay. So why do you believe them and not believe Dr. Ford and Deborah Ramirez?
Well, it's the timing is what I don't believe.
Well, but the boys that were molested in the Catholic Church, many of them did not speak out for decades because they were ashamed, because they were embarrassed, because they thought they wouldn't be believed, because they felt that their parents might stick up for the abuser. Well, the same is true with the women here who were sexually abused. Most victims, 77%, do not speak out right away. In fact, we have a culture, I don't know if you agree with me, Connie, but I think we have a culture that shames victims, that shames, instead of shaming the perpetrator, who should absolutely feel shame, we shame the victims, we shame the survivors, and so they're afraid to speak out. Do you recognize that that's part of our culture?
Yeah.
Okay, so you might understand why someone might not speak out right away.
I guess.
Here's my point, Connie. I'm not saying that I know for a fact these women are telling the truth. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying for a fact.
I don't trust them.
Okay, well, fair enough. So when you don't trust someone, okay, and Kavanaugh says one thing and these women say something else, all we have in society, because I wasn't there and you weren't there, neither of us were there, all we have when independent people like you and me are trying to determine who's telling the truth is we have courts that do it and we have investigations that do it. And what they
we
do,
have really crooked Democrats.
Well, you just assuming that. You don't think there are any crooked Republicans?
Well, I listen to Hannity.
You listen to Hannity, you know, and you believe every word Hannity says. right? Hannity would never tell you a lie.
Well, I don't know about that, but I...
Okay.
We hear a thing on him we don't hear on the radio.
Well, do you ever listen to other news sources other than Hannity?
Well, not much.
Well, don't you think that maybe you should hear from other news sources? I've met Sean Hannity. I've been.
Well, I hear him on Hannity.
No, but do you think you should ever explore the Washington Post or the New York Times or CNN or the Atlantic or the New Yorker or Time or the Wall Street Journal, which is a conservative newspaper? Have you ever considered reading an alternative news source? Because I have to tell you something, Connie. Hannity has switched sides on a lot of topics. He can't be telling the truth all the time because he's switched views on the exact same topics. He wanted all the details of everything that Bill Clinton is alleged to have done, and he believed every word of it, but he doesn't believe anything that Brett Kavanaugh is alleged to have done. And my view in all these cases is you need a full investigation. You need the FBI asking these people tough questions, asking the witnesses tough questions, talking to people who knew them, seeing if stuff is corroborated, asking the questions.
Okay.
So the,
if these asked, women...
Yep.
Don't have collaboration. I don't remember high school, but I wasn't molested. But if they can't prove it, then they need to go to jail, because that's how I feel about lying.
Well, okay. Well, Connie, I agree with you that if these women are lying...
Somebody has to pay.
If they're lying under oath, we should put them under oath. And if they lie, that's perjury. They should go to jail. I agree with you. Let me ask you another question. Dr. Ford says that there was a guy in the room when Kavanaugh tried to rape her. It's a guy by the name of Mark Judge. Do you think Mark Judge should have to also testify under oath? And if he lies, he should go to jail? Or do you think he should not have to testify?
Well, I guess they all have to testify, but...
I agree with you. See, we have a lot more agreement than you think.
This.
I think he has to testify, too. Dr. Ford has said he should testify. The Democrats...
I heard he didn't remember or see it.
No, he said that I refuse to testify. But you know what? They can subpoena him. Mm. They can make him testify, in which case he will either have to testify or he'll have to plead the Fifth Amendment, which is his right, to say, I can't tell you the truth or I would incriminate myself. And given that he confessed to rape to Deborah Ramirez, that's in the New Yorker article, he confessed to a gang rape, this witness in the room. I understand why he doesn't want to testify. He'll probably plead the Fifth. If we ask him to testify, he'll say, I don't want to incriminate myself, and he has a right to do that under the Constitution. But the fact that Kavanaugh does not want Mark Judge to testify, the fact that the Republicans don't want him to testify, they want the women to testify, but not the men, doesn't that seem a little suspicious to you?
Yeah, and the woman wants him to testify before she does.
Well, that's true. That's true. I'll tell you how it works in a civil case or a criminal case, actually. The plaintiff in a civil case, the prosecution in a criminal case, makes their case. The defendant has a chance to rebut. And then the prosecutor gets one more chance afterwards to rebut the rebuttal. That's actually how it works in a civil case. It's plaintiff, defendant, plaintiff. So actually, if she were on trial or – and unfortunately, he should be on trial. If he were on trial, she'd make her case, he'd get a chance to defend, and she would get a chance afterwards to speak one more time. That's the way it works for due process in the United States. Unfortunately, they're not allowing her to do that. But I do think that both sides should get a chance to rebut the other, absolutely. But Connie, I'll tell you what. I appreciate your calling in, and I appreciate your believing there should be a full investigation, as I do. And your question then for the Hannity supporters and the GOP, the Republicans, is why don't they want a full investigation? Think about why they wouldn't want it, because if you're innocent, you'd want a full investigation, wouldn't you?
I guess, but I partly feel it's a stall operation, a stall.
Well, if it is, you know, look, the Republicans...
I don't trust the Democrats one bit.
Well, what do you think about... do you think it's wrong to stall putting a presidential nominee on the court for a couple months? You think that's wrong?
Why in the hell didn't they do it sooner?
Okay. Do you think it's more wrong to stall a nominee for more than a year? If 2 months is bad, a year's got to be worse, right?
I think that that would be a bit much, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do. Why do you think the Republicans did that to Merrick Garland, President Obama's nominee?
I don't know much about that. I didn't get into politics until Trump.
Okay. Well, you should know that President Obama appointed a nominee who had zero sexual allegations against him and was recommended to the court by Republicans like Orrin Hatch, a very moderate guy. He's the chief judge of the D.C. Circuit, a guy by the name of Merrick Garland. And for the first time in all of American history, the Republicans refused to give a Supreme Court nominee a hearing. It's never been done before, and that's why the seat was open in the first place. So all I ask is that we be fair to both sides. And all I ask of you, Connie, and I really appreciate your calling in, all I ask of you, Connie, is to look at news sources other than Sean Hannity, because Sean Hannity has a very, very clear bias. And there's lots and lots and lots of news sources out there.
I listen to him, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin, not me. I'm Mark Levin.
Not this guy.
He's Mark Levin.
The other one. I listen
Do you listen anywhere outside of Fox News for your news? Do you get any news from newspapers? Local news? CBS,
no.
ABC, NBC, CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, Time, Newsweek?
I don't like CNN. I don't even
Why don't you like
him
it?
On Hannity, but he puts him on there.
Why don't you like it?
The people on CNN, I think that they're dishonest.
Why? Why do you think
they're
dishonest?
Look how much Hillary has gotten away with.
What's she gotten away with?
I think she should be in jail.
Why?
That was a Mickey Mouse court that they took her in.
Wait. You think Hillary Clinton should be in jail? Why? What'd she do wrong? She had a full FBI investigation, which Kavanaugh refuses, and she was completely exonerated. They said no prosecutor in the country can charge her with a crime. We've examined everything, and she told us the complete truth, and there's no crime she's committed. That's what the FBI said.
She paid for a dossier. Don't you think that's...
No, she didn't.
Against...
No, Trump? She didn't. That's a whole nother thing. The Steele dossier was paid for by Republicans who were against Trump. And then what happened is after Donald Trump won the nomination, they went to a Democratic lawyer who did pay for it. It wasn't Hillary. And that dossier, as far as we know, is true. We haven't. But that's a whole nother thing. My whole point, Connie, we've taken a lot of time, but I really, really hope if you believe in fairness and you believe in truth, that you'll look at news sources other than Sean Hannity, because Sean Hannity is well known by Republicans and Democrats as someone who shades the truth and has a very clear bias. And I'm not saying believe every word I say, but if you will go and check out, if you don't like CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, New York Times,
so
Washington
mad
Post.
When I hear those, like the what's those women? They're always, they get so excited. Trump did this. Trump did that.
You don't believe Trump did any of it?
I can't stand listening to him.
What do you think of the 17 women that have accused Trump of sexual harassment or touching or exposing himself? Do you think they're all lying?
I used to not like him as a man, but I think he's a hell of a president.
Yeah, what's he done that's helped
what
you?
What he's doing.
What's he done that's helped you? What's he done that's helped you?
Well, for one thing, our 401k has gone up 7,000 since he's been in there.
Okay, stock market is up. It was up under Obama as well. Glad it's up under Trump. All right, we got to go, Connie. I got to get back to other topics.
My husband makes more money on his check every month.
Okay.
My son gets
I'm glad
money
the economy's good. I think Obama did a real good job with it, but the stock market hasn't tanked yet, and so. Anyway, I appreciate your calling, Connie. I really do. Thank you for taking the time to come on the air. Folks, I'll get back to Kavanaugh allegations and also to what's going on with Rod Rosenstein. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Right back after this.
Rumor has it he quotes the Constitution in his sleep. Is it super nerd? No, it's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. now the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Just got a few minutes left, but sometimes I really think it's important to talk to people who disagree and try to find out what the basis is for what they have to say. And I really appreciated Connie honestly telling me that even she, who only listens to Sean Hannity and thinks all Democrats are crooked, even she believes there needs to be a full investigation. And that's why it's really, really hard for Republicans to defend Kavanaugh. And why won't they let Debbie Ramirez speak as well? Shouldn't she tell her story? Again, I strongly encourage everyone to read the entire New Yorker article. It's hard to read. It's actually easy to read. It's quick reading, but it's hard to read because what they describe is really awful. I was going to read some of it on the air. Got a lot of other things going on. I do want to talk about what happened with Rod Rosenstein today. Many of you know Rod Rosenstein is the Deputy Attorney General. Since Attorney General Ashcroft has recused himself, he's the only person who can legally fire Robert Mueller. Yes, I did mean Attorney General
Sessions. I wish we were still in
those
days of Ashcroft.
John Ashcroft was the Attorney General under George W. Bush. See, that's, I'm used to, all right, fair enough. Yes, Attorney General Sessions recused himself. Rod Rosenstein's the Deputy Attorney General, which means that he's the only one who can legally fire Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor. Now, Robert Mueller, under law, can only be fired for cause. He cannot be fired because the president does not want to be investigated. That's not a legal grounds. They have to show some kind of misconduct. So I think Rod Rosenstein, being an honest man, would never fire Robert Mueller, who's shown zero misconduct. But getting rid of Rosenstein would be a way to do basically what Richard Nixon did, the Saturday Night Massacre, where he tried to fire his special prosecutor. The attorney general refused. He went to the deputy refused. He went to the solicitor general, third in line, and then Judge Bork ended up firing a Nixon special prosecutor. In any case, Rosenstein, according to a New York Times article, I'm sure most of you know this already, was really concerned about what to do after basically Trump used Rosenstein's memo talking about Comey's bad treatment and illegal treatment of Hillary Clinton. And Trump used that as an excuse to get rid of Comey because Trump didn't like what he was doing on the Russian investigation. It gets confusing, but I think you all know what I'm talking about. The heart of it is Rosenstein expected to be fired today. He was called in by John Kelly, and they really, really encouraged him to resign, but he refused to resign. He said, "You want me out of here? You have to fire me." So Donald Trump's going to meet with him Thursday. Why Thursday? Thursday is the same day that Dr. Ford is testifying. So I fully expect, I may be wrong, I fully expect Donald Trump to fire Rod Rosenstein on Thursday to take away the news value from Dr. Ford's gruesome depictions of what Kavanaugh did to her. And he wants to wait and then grab that news cycle. And here's the heart of it. If he fires Rosenstein, the question is, who would be in charge of Kavanaugh? too many names. Who would be in charge of Robert Mueller's investigation? And the next would be the Solicitor General, who would be third in line. But again, even he cannot legally fire Robert Mueller without reason. So Trump seems to think that he, as president, can do no wrong. He really thinks he's above the law. He thinks he can pardon himself. He thinks he can fire all his investigators. When Richard Nixon fired his special prosecutor after the attorney general and the deputy attorney general were fired, as Rosenstein's about to be, well, the House Judiciary Committee started moving articles of impeachment against him. Articles of impeachment considered so serious that Richard Nixon resigned from office rather than face them. Let that be a lesson for Donald Trump. This is Mark Levine, signing off. See you Thursday.